Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the tax preparation office here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah, I've been working with our staff tax advisor, you know, Lou Pohl.
Oh, I know Lou, yeah.
He had some questions. He called them concerns, actually, about
really?
Some of the stuff that you gave him. He asked me to go over it with you.
Good.
You got a minute?
Shoot, man.
He says on line 15, he says you're claiming a deduction of $5,200.
Uh-huh.
It's $100 a week. For something you call weekly employee evaluation meetings.
Right on, Buckle.
Well, since when do we have weekly meetings where we evaluate employees?
Friday nights.
Friday night is the night we play poker. What does the weekly poker game have to do with employee evaluation?
When we sit down to play poker, what's the first thing I say to you?
Well, you say like something like, how you doing?
What do you say?
I say, fine.
There you go, man. Employee evaluation.
We're going to be in jail. Can I read some mail?
No,
because I don't have any stinking mail.
No mail. We're going to go right to the phone.
I'm sorry. I do have some stinking mail.
But that's why you won't
read
it.
But I don't want to read it.
If you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mike in beautiful Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I got a problem with my front end on my 89 Ford Thunderbird. When the weather gets cold, it sounds, when I go over a bump like a railroad crossing or the crown of a road going through an intersection, it sounds like there's aluminum cans being crushed in the front end.
Really?
Aluminum cans, let me just get the sense of that noise. That noise?
That kind of noise, yeah, you have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it goes away after the thing is warmed up, after you've gone over a bunch of bumps?
No, it doesn't go away. It goes away when the weather turns warmer.
The weather turns warmer, I see. And that when you hit a bump, it only happens that one time, and then it's gone.
And it's gone, right.
Until you hit another bump.
When you hit a pothole or a small bump, it's
going to be substantial.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you make the noise of Kerr by jumping up and down on the bumper?
Yes, you can.
Oh.
You can.
Piece of cake.
Wonderful. Piece of cake is causing it? What? The cake gets up there in the A-frame? Is that what happens?
Well, it sounds to me like you have a bad control arm bushing. That's what it's, or maybe a bad shock absorber.
Okay, the front struts have been replaced on it.
Okay, well, I knew it wasn't that anyway.
It's a control arm bushing.
It sounds like it could be a control arm, but it's easy to find out. What you need to do is, if you're willing to work on this yourself a little bit, have an assistant help you, and bounce the bumper up and down.
Are you a big guy, Mike, or a little guy?
I'm a big guy.
Oh, you
okay.
need a
you need a little assistant.
Yeah, it's pencil neck geek.
You need a try to find. Do you have any friends who are geeks?
No, I don't. I have
no.
Try to find a geek who's very gullible. A gullible geek.
Okay.
And you want the gullible geek to get under the car, and you are going to sit
and bounce on the bumper.
Right. You're going to sit and bounce on the bumper while the gullible geek is underneath the car.
So you're going to simulate, in fact, what's happening when your car hits a pothole, and your skinny friend is going to...
The gullible geek.
The gullible geek. He's going to have a small piece
and
of...
And if he's talkative, he'd be a gregarious gullible geek.
And if he's handsome, he'd be a gorgeous...
A gorgeous gregarious gullible geek.
Has to be a gullible geek.
Or if he's German, he could be a German gregarious.
German gullible gregarious.
All right, enough of this.
And the truth is that this gullible geek will be able to tell by putting his hand on the appropriate piece whether or not that's the one making noise.
Sometimes you can't tell with your hand because the sound really gets telegraphed through all the suspension and even through the frame.
A hose is a wonderful thing.
A small piece of we use vacuum hose. You stick it in one end in your ear, and you really probe around, and you will pinpoint that noise right to the very spot that it's coming from.
Ah,
and
I've got it.
And sometimes a little shot of lubrication like WD-40 or LPS or one of those lubricants in that thing will get enough lubrication in it to make the noise go away.
Better than a piece of rubber hose, you want to find a doctor.
A skinny doctor.
Who has a stethoscope. So a general...
A gullible geek doctor, right?
So you want a gullible, gregarious, generous...
Gastroenterologist
geek.
There you go, Mike. You're all set, aren't you?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Good It'll luck. Sound good to him, too, really.
No, seriously, this is relatively easy to find.
Okay.
And a squirt of something will probably make it go away.
And if the squirt doesn't make it go away, take it into someone and have the bushing replaced.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Erin calling from Palo Alto, California.
Hi, Erin.
Erin.
Yes.
Are you one of those dot-com type people?
No, I'm a chemist, actually. I'm
a chemist? Wow.
Yeah.
What's the formula for aluminum carbonate? AlCO3 or Al2CO3?
You're putting her on the
spot. Or AlCO32, Al2CO32.
I think it's Al2CO3.
Well, that's what I thought, too. That's... I got some nasty mail when I said that.
Well, that's if aluminum is plus two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But...
I think it only works if aluminum is plus two.
Do you have a PhD in chemistry?
No. Well, magnesium is plus two. And magnesium...
Oh, now we're changing the subject. We're on magnesium. What happened to aluminum?
And then it's Mg... Well, it's probably...
She's going from the periodic table, man. Back to basics.
Yeah, but aluminum can be different pluses, you know?
Yes, I know it can. I like the sound of Al2CO3. Don't you?
Well, it's happened again. You've blown off another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk, Aristide.
I always went with the sound. That's why I flunked that course.
Yeah, whatever sounds
if
good.
If it sounded right.
You're right.
Right. You have to go with what sounds right.
Yeah.
Oh, you do.
Well, thanks for calling. So what's up?
Well, see, this all stems back to the fact that my husband taught me how to drive standard.
I just want you to know that we have a clock here in the studio. 3 minutes has gone by. We haven't even mentioned cars yet.
And I need to learn how to drive again.
So, who was it? Your husband taught you to...
My husband taught me how to drive manual.
Yeah.
And so I was recently in the car with my friend, John, and he said, no, this is how you drive manual. And so what Mark does is, my husband Mark, he always gears down when he's slowing down, you know, to use the engine to slow the car.
Yeah.
And my friend John shifts the car into neutral, slows the car down, puts on the brake, and then when he's stopping, or when he's stopped already, he puts the car into first so that he can start again.
Great!
But my husband Mark says, no, that's really dangerous because the car is not in gear.
Do you know, get this, they are both wrong.
Then do I have to take new lessons to learn how to drive?
No, just do what your husband says.
Right.
Submission is...
And forget what your boyfriend says.
Submission. Didn't you read that book? Come on.
Right.
Whatever your husband says is de facto
way
to do it.
No, it's the other way around. See, you say, yes, dear, and then you research it yourself.
No, you
don't get
rubbed the
want.
Wrong intonation. Oh, it's, yes, dear.
Yeah.
Yes, dear.
So you want to really know the answer.
Yes.
Well, they're both wrong is the answer, but your husband is less wrong than your boyfriend.
He's not my boyfriend.
No, it's not your boyfriend. Oh, I'm sorry. I've got an evil mind. Yeah, I mean, the guy who says throw it into neutral, come to a coast, and then stop, and then throw it in first, he's really wacko.
When you're stopped...
Everything he's doing is wrong.
When you're completely stopped, you should be in neutral with your foot off the clutch. Only when you are ready to go should you step in the clutch and shift into first.
Okay, but what my husband says is that, let's say you get rear-ended and you're at a stop. Like a stoplight. You get rear-ended and your airbags blow and you become unconscious.
Yeah.
And you can't control the car. Then if the car is in neutral, the car is just going to keep going. At least if it's in first, the car will stall and, you know...
Oh, you'll probably be dead anyway. Did you see Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid? Did you see that movie where they're contemplating jumping off the cliff into the raging rapids below? And yeah. Sundance Kid says, I can't swim. And Butch says, what are you kidding? The fall is going to kill you.
So why is that the correct thing to do?
Because you don't want to, in order to be in anything but neutral, you would either have to turn the engine off, which you're not going to do, or have your foot constantly on the clutch pedal, which, if nothing else, will cause you to get a monstrous left leg. And my brother's developed this peculiar limp from driving his MG, where he favors his left leg because it's twice the size of his right leg. No, and you'll wear out the clutch release bearing in spite of what engineers have written us to the contrary. Yeah. Mechanical parts wear out when they're used. I don't care if the thing was designed to last 5 million miles. If you keep your foot on the pedal, the part will wear out faster than it will if your foot's off the pedal.
So then what is the correct way to slow down?
The correct way to slow down is to leave it in gear.
Uh-huh.
And slow down by stepping on the brake.
And not to gear down.
And if you're in a high gear and you want to slow down quickly, you can use the engine to slow you down too.
By downshifting, as Mark, your husband, said.
Right. But if you downshift solely for the purpose of slowing down, then you, in fact, will wear out the clutch very fast. And the clutch is ill-designed to slow the car down. The brakes are really there to slow the car down. So you can use both, but you should rely primarily, unless you're in a situation where you've been going way too fast and you need to slow down in a hurry, you should rely primarily on the brakes to slow the car down. But you should always leave the car in gear when you're slowing down and never take it out of gear until you stopped.
So your husband is far more right than John.
Than your boyfriend.
Than your right. boyfriend, John.
Well, good, because I have to go back to him tonight.
See you, Aaron.
All right.
Good luck.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Tom and Ray, this is Will Shorts.
No kidding.
No kidding. Well, frost my shorts.
The name that you use in vain week after week.
We've been kind to you lately.
I had a question about last week's puzzle. Will Shorts, for those of you who don't know, everyone knows who Will Shorts is.
No, of course not.
Is the New York Times.
If everyone knew who Will Shorts was, he'd be rich.
He's the puzzle editor of the New York Times.
And I do the puzzle every week on Weekend Edition Sunday.
Yeah.
So what do you call it? You probably noticed the poor quality of our puzzler lately. And maybe you called to offer some words of encouragement?
Actually, I do have a puzzle for you later, but I have a legitimate car problem, too.
All right.
Okay.
I have a 1992 Saab.
Wait. Do we get reciprocal thing? I mean, can I call you when I'm really stuck on 23 across?
Sure, why not?
For 95 cents a minute, you can call and get answers on the Times puzzle. Is that what it costs?
No, I want it right from the horse's mouth. I want it right from the horse's shorts.
I'll be your free 900 number call.
So anyway, you were saying?
I have a 92 Saab, and for the last couple of months, there are times when the car simply doesn't start. It usually happens at night, often when it's cold, sometimes after it's snowed, and I just the car simply won't start. And when
especially when you're in a place you don't want anyone to know you're supposed to be at.
<That's right. laughs> And when I try the car the next morning, the engine starts up perfectly.
Yeah.
Do you have an alarm system?
Yes.
Do you have an automatic transmission?
Yes.
Okay, do you know the answer to 7 down?
I do have an ignition cutoff system.
Oh, you do?
I never use it, basically, because I live in a safe neighborhood and I park my car in my driveway.
But the ignition cutoff only cuts off the ignition so that if you were to engage that thing,
it would crank.
Turn the key, it would wah, but it just wouldn't fire up. Is that true?
When I turn the ignition, there's absolutely nothing.
Oh, no, but when you engage the cutoff, the ignition cutoff, you said.
It's the same thing. There's nothing.
Oh,
it's wired that way.
Yeah.
Oh, so it isn't just an ignition. It's a starter cutoff.
Yes.
So it could be that's malfunctioning or engaging when you don't want it to.
Yeah.
And that would be my first guess.
Yeah.
My advice would be to disconnect it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that would be my first guess, too.
Yeah.
Other guesses would be the starter, the ignition switch.
Or the neutral safety switch.
Or the neutral safety switch since you have an automatic transmission.
Uh-huh.
When it does it again,
uh-huh.
Take it out of park and put it into neutral and see if it'll start. And jiggle it. Jiggle the shifter.
Oh, that's interesting. You know, a couple of times I've been able to make it work by, once I opened the hood and shut it again, and then the car started fine.
That's the Microsoft approach.
Yeah, so
you open the hood and shut it again.
Yeah.
I'm going back to the alarm system that you have.
Me too.
Uh-huh.
Are you into puzzles besides crossword puzzles?
Oh, yes.
Any kind of puzzle.
Oh, yeah.
Sure you are.
Let me give you a quick puzzle on the air.
Go ahead, man.
Well, this will be a bonus puzzle for our listeners.
Here you go. The name Saab has only A's as vowels, Infiniti has only I's, and Volvo has only O's. What 12-letter auto name has only E's as vowels?
Mercedes?
There you go.
Ha!
Wow.
Good going.
Jeez.
That's how you spell Mercedes?
Starts with an E?
Hey, I'll give you one more. This is a harder one.
All right.
Wait, didn't you say 12 letters?
Mercedes-Benz.
Oh, Benz. Oh, yeah, I forgot the Benz part.
Well, it's...
You got another one for us? Go ahead.
Here's a tougher one, and this is I would not expect you to get off the top of your head. Take the name of an old make of automobile, change the first letter to get the name of a current make of auto. Now, I'll tell you an almost answer to this puzzle is Rio and Geo.
Well, I wrote Rio the very first time you said an old car.
Yeah, but they don't make Geos. Those aren't made anymore.
Those aren't made anymore.
Right,
that's right.
But there is another answer.
Okay. That's good. Okay.
So there you go.
We'll get right on that one.
Well, I appreciate your answer to my problem.
All right.
Thanks for calling, Will.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Nice meeting you. Wow.
All right.
Will Shorts.
He'd give you his home number if he thought he could trust you with it. Okay, Tommy, do you remember last week's puzzler? I didn't think so. It's about matches.
You mean like my face and your...
No, your face and... never mind. No, matchsticks, and I'll have the answer in just a minute.
Who's green, not a sea tactin? Tons overweight, I gotta make her to Bakersfield. I can't be late. I got a woman round Barstow calling my name. But this Peterbilt diesel ain't a passenger train. I'll haul you log racks, piggybacks, and flatbed freight. I'll take any load and move it any each way. On the back of my truck, you're gonna find my name. There each gear, Jim and Daddy, stay out of my way. I done a Cumberland Gap cone and Devil's Crest. I've been north to south and baby all out west. I've been driving all night and my eyes are sore. I'm a gear jamming daddy, keep a hammer to the floor.
And even though Bondo, the human cannonball, curses the accurate placement of his catch net whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a prison warden and need to send inmates running back to their cells.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And for those of you who think my brother's just another pretty face... While we're...
That doesn't include my wife, by the way. She doesn't even think I'm up just a pretty face.
And what she thinks of you, we can't repeat on the air.
No.
My brother, in a second, solved Will Shorts' little puzzle.
No, it took more than a second.
I mean, all right, 20 seconds.
The deal was you take a name of an old car, you replace the first letter, and you get the name of a currently made car. And the answer is...
And it's not the model, it's the make of car.
The make of car. It's the Cord. And the Ford. Ha, Will? Where's Will? When you really need him.
Well, there may be others, but I think that's certainly an acceptable answer.
That's the
answer.
One that jumped right out at me.
Right. It only works if the number is two.
It only works if the number is
two. Anyway, to get back to the business at hand, I tried this matchstick puzzler on the staff last week, and after they spent 3 or 4 hours looking around the office for matchsticks, I finally told them it was okay to use a pen and paper to draw the matchsticks. And here it is.
Yeah.
We're going to make a fraction. The numbers in this fraction are going to be represented by Roman numerals. And the numerator of the fraction is the Roman numeral 23, which is XX111, right?
Or III.
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 And you can, of course, imagine the XXIII being made of what? Matchsticks.
I can imagine that.
So you've got that on top. That's the numerator. And then you take a bunch of matchsticks and make the divisor line. Okay? And then the denominator is the Roman numeral 7, which is VII.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then you take two more matchsticks and make an equal sign. And on the other side of the equation, you put two, or II, Captain.
II, sir.
So you ready for this? You've got Roman numeral 23 over Roman numeral 7 equals Roman numeral 2. Now, it was obvious to most of our staff that this equation is wrong.
It took Dougie a while to fall in with the rest.
Yeah, well, he's always been difficult. So your challenge was to make to move one matchstick and make the equation correct. Now, you can't put a matchstick over the equal sign to make it an unequal sign. My brother tried that, and I broke his matchsticks. You also can't take one stick off of an X and leave behind a slanted line because that means nothing. You have to stick to the true spirit of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So how can you move one matchstick to make the equation correct? Now, we're going to get a bunch of people that go, oh, man, this is bogus, yeah. But tough.
Well, that's what puzzlers are all about. If the answer was simple and straightforward, it wouldn't be a puzzlement, now
no,
would it?
It would be a third-grade math
third
problem.
Third-grade math problem, exactly. These are brain stretchers, man. I mean, so people who are going to complain, we don't want to hear it.
Exactly.
It's the very nature of puzzlement.
And I think the solution is elegant. You are going to take one away from the numerator.
Yeah, so it's, instead of saying 23, it's going to be 22.
And now you have 22 over 7. And with that one matchstick that you removed,
yeah.
A number should jump into your head.
Yes.
Because 22 over 7 equals pi. And you're going to put that matchstick that you've removed from the numerator atop the 2 on the right side of the equation.
Oh,
and
man.
Although it isn't quite accurate, you're going to make the symbol for pi, thus
yes.
Making the equation correct.
Sure.
And I think it's pretty
I mean, everyone has used that approximation.
Of
I
course.
Use it all the time in my calculations.
Yes.
I don't like to write out 3.14159 and all those other digits. I just use 22 sevenths, and I'm sure everyone else does too, whether they'll admit it or not.
Who's our winner this week?
Shut up. The winner is Laura Leonard from Charleston, South Carolina. I'll bet it's warm down there.
Right now. Stop complaining. Just shut up and read this thing.
And for having your correct answer chosen from among the two answers that were correct that we got this week, Laura, you're going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk Shameless Commerce Division, and I'm sure the excitement in Charleston is just, I mean, you can feel what's going on. The entire town must be simply saying, Laura, you lucky kid.
You lucky devil.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll have another new automotive puzzler coming up in the third half of today's show. In the meantime, we'll take your calls at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Susan, and I'm calling from Charlottesville, Virginia.
Hi, Susan.
Susan, Charlottesville.
Yes.
Where is Charlottesville?
What do you mean, where is Charlottesville?
It's in Virginia.
Yeah, but what part?
It's in the southwest, I guess, or more central.
South.
She doesn't even know. First it's the southwest,
it's by the
now it's central. In the Blue Ridge Mountains.
The Blue Ridge Mountains, uh-huh.
Yeah, I did. I knew a bluegrass song with Charlottesville in it. I can't repeat
right.
The lyrics, though.
Oh, no.
Never mind.
So what's up, Susan?
Well, I was calling to ask you all to arbitrate a dispute between my brother and myself about his car.
Oh, we're good with sibling rivalries.
I figured you all would be.
Yeah, we are.
And it's about his car, which is a Honda Accord.
Yeah.
And it all started over Christmas when we were visiting our family up in New Hampshire. And decided to take his car on a car trip. Mm-hmm. We were in the car about 2 hours total, and the entire time we were in the car, the temperature gauge never got above C, and I thought I had frostbite by the end of the trip.
Yeah.
And it was relatively cold out, but not out of the ordinary, about 5 to 10 degrees.
So you both live in Charlottesville, and your parents live in New Hampshire?
I live in Charlottesville. He lives in Washington, D.C.
Ah.
So. Oh, so he swung over and picked you up.
No, she swung over. It's on the way.
Well, no, I flew up and met him there.
Yeah. Okay, so you fly to D.C., your brother picks you up, and you start driving to New Hampshire, and you're freezing your little buns off.
Well, actually, this was in New Hampshire that I was freezing my little buns off.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. As you got right. There, you realized that he had no heat.
Right.
And got the picture.
And
so my contention is that there was something wrong with his car, either the heater or the thermostat, that he needed to have fixed.
And that ding-a-ling didn't believe you?
No. He states, and he happens to be a nuclear engineer, so he thinks he's an expert.
He thinks he's an expert in everything.
Right, even though he has no basis in mechanics.
Yeah.
But he states that his engine is simply too efficient and can't generate enough heat to overcome temperatures at that level.
Whoa.
Susan, you don't know how much this hits home. You don't know how much this...
Wait a minute.
Shut up for a minute. not more than 2 days ago, my brother and I had this very...
very same argument. He was making some cockeyed theory about engines that are too efficient.
No. Whose cooling systems work too?
Same thing.
Now, I just want to know, where does your brother practice this nuclear engineering?
Well, he went to the Naval Academy and then was on nuclear engineer on a sub.
Well, I mean, of course.
So his claim, very simply, I'll recap.
Go ahead.
For those of us that weren't paying attention.
Go ahead, and try
brother.
Not to bend the facts.
Not going
to
bend. He
Fine.
Simply said to Susan his engine ran too efficiently to generate enough heat for the heating system to work
right.
correctly.
Yeah.
Is that a fair assessment of his position?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's wacko.
Good. Yeah, no, he's wacko.
No, he needs a thermostat, and you are 100% right.
Oh,
his
good.
Thermostat is stuck open.
Uh-huh.
And because of that, it's overcooling everything. The reason you got a thermostat is so that you can keep some heat once in a while because you want heat.
Right.
Well,
in
that's
the
why
absence,
you have a car.
And in the absence of a thermostat that's functioning correctly, his cooling system is working too efficiently. Not the engine, but the cooling system is working too efficiently, and
right.
it's keeping the engine operating temperature way too low. In addition to the fact that it's bad for the passengers because it's uncomfortable,
Very
it's also bad for the engine because
sure.
the oil gets sludgy. There's incomplete combustion, which causes oil dilution with gasoline,
mm-hmm.
and it's just bad. It's bad,
I mean,
bad.
In fact, if he has been running the car like this for a long time, and
well,
maybe
it's been at least 3 months now.
At least 3 months. It's probably not as bad where he lives.
Right, it's not.
But nonetheless, if it is always running below operating temperature, he's doing serious damage to his car. So you can not only tell him that you're right, but he's wrong.
Well, good.
Yeah.
I had a bottle of wine riding on this.
A bottle
did.
Of wine, huh?
Yeah.
And,
excellent.
You know,
oh, he'll be whining.
Pride.
He'll be whining when you give him the answer.
Well,
a nuclear engineer. I mean,
yeah.
A nuclear engineer. Now, I don't want to cast any aspersions, but he ought to have some idea about things like heat transfer.
You'd think.
You would think. And if he doesn't, I would be very, very nervous about anything that he was doing in nuclear engineering. Because
well,
if he doesn't understand about thermostats, it's no big deal.
He's a very good nuclear engineer, though.
I doubt it.
No, he may be very good. He may just have made a small error.
Yeah.
Well, actually, when I told him I was going to call you all to check, he started backtracking a little.
Oh, yes. We call it covering.
Oh, he was just trying to snow his little sister who he thinks doesn't know diddly.
I know, just because I'm only a medical student.
Well, you'll show him.
See, you know about heat transfer, too.
But not in engines.
Doesn't
well, it's
matter.
All the same.
It's all the same. It's
yeah.
stoichiometry of one kind of another.
Right. I mean, well, our bodies are just engines. We burn cheeseburgers instead. That's the difference.
Good luck,
Susan.
Enjoy
the wine.
Enjoy the wine and gloat a lot. Try to gloat
a
lot.
I'm working on the gloating
and
already.
Try not to let him forget this for a very long time.
Do you think 20 years is long enough?
20 years will do it. If you ever forget, we'll send you a note.
Okay. Thank you so much.
See you later.
Bye.
Overly efficient engine.
Sounded good, though, doesn't it? Didn't it?
Especially coming from a nuclear engineer.
Oh, I mean, how could you doubt a nuclear engineer?
Sounds good, but it's wrong.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is James.
Hi, James. From where?
New York.
New York.
Where, like Brooklyn, Manhattan, the Bronx?
Actually, Long Island.
Long Island.
Long Island, yeah.
Long Island.
Yeah.
Well, you must be way out in the island.
Montauk.
No, not that far. Nassau.
Nassau.
Yeah.
Oh, it's nice there, isn't it?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
nice.
What's up?
So I have a car etiquette question for you guys.
Car etiquette. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to have to, like,
this is like a Miss Manners question?
Yeah.
Dear Miss Manners.
Well, I'll let my brother handle this because he's the man about town, bon vivant and all that. You know. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, it's a Miss Manners type question. Let me background it for you. Basically, I'm getting married this summer, right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And, you know, everybody's telling us that we should register for, you know, all these things that you wouldn't buy, right?
Right, like sterling silver.
Sterling
right,
silver. Like, who the hell needs sterling silver
right.
unless someone's going to give it to you?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Like so, chafing dishes and stuff like that,
yeah,
right?
And, you know, yeah. What are you going to chafe?
Wall plaques are big. I have a bunch of them.
Well, you know, all of this was promulgated by the sterling silver industry because they know that nobody would ever go out and buy this stuff on his or her own.
It's the marital industrial complex.
Yes. Well, it is. because you would not go out and buy, look, hon, let's get married. Great. When are we going to buy our Sterling? So you register,
right.
And then people go out and buy it because they don't know what the hell to buy. It's either that or they have to give you real money.
Right.
And then you know what cheapskates they were. Instead, they can slip you some lousy piece of Sterling silver. Anyway, continue.
Well, so I thought I'd follow this logic to the conclusion and basically, you know, buy something expensive that will be useful instead of something that's not useful. So I thought maybe we could register for a car.
Register for a car.
Wishful thinking.
No, I mean, if you invite enough people and you tell them all that that's all you want.
Forget
about the stupid toasters and the wall plaques and the chafing dishes. Go for it.
Yeah, well, the question is, how do you ask somebody?
Well, you say, we're registered at the Lexus dealer downtown.
Right, at Louis Lexus.
And would you ask people to, like, to buy into a share of a car, or would you ask them to buy a Fender? I mean, you know.
I suppose you could do it that way, too, couldn't you? I like this.
I think they would buy a share. I mean, and so you would know that you got. Of course, that would be an unfortunate way of finding out the value of each person's gift.
No, but
if a share were $100,
you get a chafing dish. You know it ain't worth $400.
Well, you know, first of all, you know when you don't know it, when you return it.
Yeah. So I think you just register for the car at Joe's Lexus dealer, and then people can go and sign up, and they say, well, he needs four fenders, and he says, actually, three of them are already taken care of, steering wheel, engine, transmission. It would be interesting.
Well, you
know
what this
means. Of course, you would only get about 200 parts, and there are about 12,000 in a car.
Yeah, we're going to have the Sterling Silver Syndicate all over us for suggesting this. And we may upset the entire apple cart here.
The Marital Industrial Complex?
The Marital Industrial Complex.
Yeah.
But I think it's a great idea, but I think you should go for something a little more. How many guests are going to be invited?
Well, see, that's a good question. I guess depending on how expensive a car.
Well, first of all,
that's directly related.
You're not paying for the wedding. If you're adhering to tradition, your father-in-law-to-be is going to spring for this.
Right.
Right,
yeah,
so the more the merrier. If you invite 400 people,
sure, tell them
you got a shot at.
This is now from a guy who's got two sons. Now, right. I happen to have two daughters,
right?
And I can tell you that my daughter, one of my lovely daughters, was recently married, and she thought it was a great deal. She said, "This is great. Look at all the stuff I'm getting. What a great deal!" And I said, "For whom is it a great deal? She's getting all the stuff. I'm paying for all the dinners."
Oh, don't be bitter. You cheapskate. Well, James, I think you should, if you have about 350 guests.
350, okay.
You can get the LS400.
350, let me see. 350, that would be about $1,500 a piece.
Gotta be people I really like.
Yeah.
I think that would be fair for
dinner. Oh, no, it isn't. No.
Oh, it's 350
people. It's $125 a piece.
Oh, this
James,
is a deal.
James,
oh, wow.
Yeah. At 35 people, you'd need 1,000 people.
That's why I wrote down 35 when he said 350.
But if you had 350 people, if they all kicked in about $125 a piece, which is, I would say, below average.
Huh? Below average?
For a wedding gift.
Sure. Yeah. Don't forget, a couple is going to come. Oh, wait, this is 350 people.
All right, 200.
All right, $125.
All right,
So it's generous. So you don't go for the Lexus.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you might have to. You might have to settle for, like, an Aspire to a Lexus.
But, James, I think you have initiated a new tradition.
I'd like to get involved in this. I mean, you know what to do? You tell people you are registered with Click and Clack.
Click and Clack.
We will make up the list of parts, right?
Okay.
And for, like, what we skim, like, 15, 20% off the top.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Just for doing it all. And we'll send you the rest, and you go to whatever you get. You get a Camry? Camry's not bad.
Yeah.
James, have a wonderful life.
Well, thanks.
And congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And good luck.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. What an idea. Why didn't you think of that? Hey, look, before we get to the new puzzler, and I know you can't wait, we have to take a short break.
Why?
Because it's time.
So what? Is the world going to end if we don't take a break?
No.
Would NPR go off the air if we didn't take a break?
No.
I'm sick of this mindless conformity. I'm sick of being a slave to the clock. What happened to spontaneity, innovation, good old American ingenuity? What did that happen to that?
Hey, Bugsy just brought in some donuts.
Let's take a break.
We'll be back with a brand new puzzler in just a minute.
And even though villages everywhere invite us to apply for the idiot position whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Which you said was going to be an automotive puzzle. You think I wasn't paying attention.
This is automotive.
Okay.
Here it is. You got to pay attention now. The other day in the shop, I had two Toyota Camrys, side by each, as we say in the trade.
Uh-huh.
One of them didn't run. It cranked, and you turned the key, wah, 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 but it wouldn't fire up. And the other one was in for an emissions test. Uh-huh. So I say to Ralph, through these two cars. So he takes the emissions tester probe, he sticks it in the tailpipe of the car in which he's supposed to do the emissions test. He opens the hood. Next thing I know, he's cranking this car.
It won't start.
It doesn't start.
Ooh.
I sit there. I mean, I'm having breakfast, so
I like it already.
I can't get up.
No.
He then takes the probe out of that tailpipe, sticks it in the other car. He gets into the car that didn't run.
Didn't start.
And he turns the key, and, of course, it doesn't start. It does the same thing that the first car did. And I say to him,
what the hell are you doing?
He tells me.
It's like catching a cold. You put the cars too close together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you got it now? He put the emissions tester in the first car. The guy drove the car in.
Gotcha.
He opens the hood. He does something.
Mm-hmm.
He gets inside. He turns the key, and the thing cranks and cranks. He does it for like a minute, and it doesn't start. Now he does seemingly the same thing to the car which didn't run, but he's trying to figure out why this car doesn't run.
Right.
And he's also trying to do, I presume, some kind of emissions test on the other car, but I can't figure out why. And he sticks the probe
in the tailpipe. Must have assumed that he went to the wrong car. That's why he...
Well, that's what I assumed at first. I didn't know what he was doing, but he then explains to me what he's doing, and I say, aha! What's he doing? If you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $20 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238, or you can do an electronic funds transfer. We love those. And email your answer on a $20 bill to us from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Anita. I live in Los Molinos, California. I just wanted to talk to you. I don't give a hang about the car.
Neither do we.
We don't either. Let's talk about something interesting.
I think you'll find this interesting.
Okay.
After my car gets up to speed a little bit for about 5 or 10 minutes or longer, and then I have to stop and idle for a while, like at a stoplight or something.
Yeah.
It goes into a period of heavy breathing.
Yeah.
It goes...
Yeah.
And if I have my hand on the gear shift, it pulls almost imperceptibly to the right and shakes a little bit and then stops.
Yeah.
It's as though the whole thing were complaining bitterly about having to run too fast, although I may tend to anthropomorphize.
Does it sound like it's speeding up and slowing down and speeding up and slowing down?
Yes.
It does.
You don't have a tachometer, do you?
No.
Remember the old days when
you had
a
What
nice...
kind of a car is it?
It's a Toyota pickup truck.
Oh. Huh.
Okay. And it's about a 92.
About.
92.
You're really into this vehicle, aren't you? It's a one of the Toyota, Honda, one of those, yeah, and it's about a 92.
Well, you know, when somebody asks me what kind of a car I have, I say a white one.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's about as specific as you want to be.
Close enough. I mean, pretty soon, I guess what you're telling us is at some point, we will simply have generic cars. They'll have no names on them.
That's the way it should be.
So this thing wheezes.
I tell you, if we did that, we'd get GM out of a lot of trouble.
We would. So this thing wheezes for a few minutes or a few seconds and...
Well, I really don't know. For a while, usually I'm in a hurry, and I either take off again or I turn the motor off and go do what I have to do.
It's a stick shift, right?
Stick, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what you're actually feeling by holding onto the stick is you're feeling the engine surging.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, it runs okay?
Yeah, oh, yes, wonderfully.
Jeepers creepers. You're right. This is an interesting... Okay, start with the questions.
She already told us it was white.
Why did you tell us that?
Well, I'm working on air.
Yeah, that's about right.
Actually, it's even better. It's even better than that. I'm working on vacuum. Lack of air.
You mean if I vacuum it,
then if you vacuum it, it'll get better.
No, what my brother's getting at is that you may have a vacuum leak. You may have a vacuum leak, or there could be something wrong with the airflow sensor. This thing has, I believe, an airflow sensor because it's fuel injected. And there may be something wrong with that, or there may be something wrong with the coolant temp sensor or the air temp sensor that, for whatever reason, is causing this thing to surge because it's sending a funny signal to the computer, which controls the fuel injection.
Oh.
And that's what's going on. And it could be something as simple as incorrect timing causing the whole thing. If it runs well otherwise,
yeah,
then it could be something simple as a faulty sensor or just something that's set incorrectly. Maybe the air bleed screw is even turned out too far. I think it's probably some adjustment is going to fix it. If you back that air bleed screw out, if someone were to back it out too far, the thing would all the time go... So it might be right on the hairy edge, and sometimes all it takes is that you've run the engine, you know, at high speed for a few minutes, and then you come to a stop, and maybe it's just on the verge of doing it, and it begins to do it. And I bet if you sit there long enough, it'll probably come down to normal.
Yeah,
you've got to take one of these guys for a ride. Instead of them taking you for a ride... You take one of them for a ride.
I'm into that.
And say, here's what it does, and suggest to him that they turn in, that they check the curb idle speed, the timing, and the position of the air bleed. One of those three things is going to give you the answer.
Okay. I've known you for so many years, and you've just met me.
Well,
it's so exciting.
That's too bad, isn't it, that we you've known us and we haven't known you.
Yes.
But now we know you, Anita.
Why didn't you call us sooner?
Well, oh, I intend to call you every day from now on.
It's a deal.
And when you're coming through Los Molinos, please stop and see me.
Oh, I go through there once, twice a decade.
Are you really? Well, I'll be here as many decades as I last.
Well, so you should be surprised if we show up.
Thanks a lot.
See you later.
Thanks so much for calling.
Right, bye-bye.
What calling? I thought she called us.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Eric.
Hi, Eric, where are you from?
I'm from Brighton, right across the river from your spare city.
No. Brighton, Massachusetts.
Right. So, well, the story begins with my father.
Mm-hmm.
He's had this long-time dream of driving the Alcan Highway.
Yeah.
To Alaska.
Yeah.
And so now he's retired, so he can actually do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, when he first had this dream, my mom said, count her out. And now that he actually might do it, she still says, count her out.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to do it himself.
Well, no, that's where the story's leading.
His girlfriend.
He's looking for a girlfriend.
Well, not that he's told us.
Not that he's
So then he asked his brothers, but they immediately found more important obligations.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Cleaning the lawn furniture.
Yeah. I got to have a root canal that day.
Right. Like that. So then he asked some of his friends, and their reaction was, "This is a crazy thing to do at our age. We're not coming either."
Mm-hmm.
How old is Dad?
Dad, he will be 68.
It's a crazy thing to do at his age, but that's all right. And I know the question: should you be going with him?
No. The question is: do we want to go?
Well, sort of. The first half of the question is, it looks like me and my sister are going. So, the first half is, we've said we're going, but, you know, it's not too late to actually get in the car.
Yeah.
And when I think of being in a car in the Canadian wilderness with two adult family members for 3 weeks, I think, like, recipe for disaster, right?
Yeah,
maybe.
So, I'd say so.
Question number one half is, should we go? And question number second half is, if we do go, what kind of car should we rent?
Ah.
Okay. This is interesting.
I have to put myself in your
situation. That's exactly what I was trying to do.
If my father wanted to do this,
I'd tell him to rave on.
And my sister were going to go along.
Oof!
I'd have to kill them both. We would barely make it to Vancouver and they'd be gone.
Vancouver? You wouldn't get out of Massachusetts.
Right. Sturbridge, maybe.
No, we're starting in Edmonton.
You're starting in Edmonton.
Yeah.
So, I was doing exactly the same thing my brother was doing. If my father said he wanted to do this, my mother, of course, would say, count me out.
Right.
Anyone else he knew would say, count me out, because everyone else he knows is dead.
Right, so they're counted out by definition.
They're sort of automatically counted out. My sister is wacky enough to say, I'll do it, Dad, if one of the boys will do it. And it wouldn't be me.
Gee, we may be giving him ideas without even realizing it. I'm leaving my phone off the hook for the next 2 weeks.
Imagine spending 3 weeks in the car. And don't forget, one-third of the time, your sister's going to be driving.
Oh, no.
Well, I forgot the questions.
The question is,
oh, yeah, should we go?
Crazy to go, and what kind of car should we rent?
Let's work on the second question.
No, I know the answer to the first question.
Okay, you can hang on to that answer if you want.
I will hang on to that answer.
Now the second half, I thought about this a little bit, right?
Yeah.
It should be sturdy, reliable,
yeah.
Good handling. It's got to be large because there's going to be three of us.
Yeah.
And we're going to have like 20 cases of tuna fish packed in water because I don't think there's
tuna fish. Alaskan king crab.
We're going to carry salmon to Alaska.
Canned salmon.
Why not?
Yeah, there's a shortage up there.
You guys in Brighton are on top of things, you know?
So it's got to be large.
It's got to be large. I mean, if it were I'd want to be in a GMC Suburban.
So would I.
A GMC Suburban.
Yeah.
You're going to go this summer, right?
Yeah. This summer is when we're doing it, if we're doing it.
Yeah, right. August. So there's no snow. There's no snow to worry about.
No, I think there's gravel.
It's all gravel. Yeah.
So I'd want a four-wheel drive GMC Suburban. Plenty of room. Nice, soft ride to keep you from getting too sick.
And we can fall asleep.
You can fall asleep.
You recommend something like a sport utility vehicle, huh?
Well, actually, what I...
But a big one.
Quite frankly, from my experience taking lengthy road trips, there is nothing like a conversion van.
Yeah.
If you can possibly rent, borrow, steal, or whatever, the Ford van.
Well, we don't actually want to sleep in this thing.
No. Well, not to really sleep, but I'll tell you, it is great to be able to modify that rear seat into a bed. For example... After like 9 hours on the road, when your father and sister have been arguing for three of those 9 hours and you can't stand it anymore and you're on the verge of killing one or both of them, wouldn't it be nice to just go in the way back there and curl up with a nice book?
Do these things come with like a sort of an isolation feature so you don't hear the other people?
Yes, they do have complete sensory deprivation chambers.
Well, that would tip the balance in their favor.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the answer to the first part of the question
no,
is...
No, you shouldn't go.
If you're really lucky, maybe you'll need emergency surgery on something, like a hangnail, the day that they're going to take off, and you've already have got the airline tickets and all that, so they'll have to go without you.
Well, I mean, I see it as either this is going to be a bonding experience of all time, so that you, your father, and your sister will be closer together than you have ever been.
Right, so that's the one possibility. The other possibility is, and this isn't so bad, that you never talk to each other again after this.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to have your input. But in case I do end up doing this, you're recommending a GMC Suburban.
Preferably, I'd recommend a van.
A conversion van.
You want distance, man. You may even want to walk a few miles.
Or just tell them to pick you up on the way back.
Yeah, believe me, when you're traveling like that for weeks at a time, everyone needs his space.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what to do? I mean, I know you're going to do this.
Yeah.
Keep a diary. In fact, try to get everyone to keep a diary.
Right. Oh, yeah, you can call us from wherever you are, but you'll be interested. July 11th, killed sis today.
Again.
Dad better watch it.
Yeah, I mean, it would be interesting if the three of you kept a diary and don't show them to each other, of course, but you could show them to us.
Show them to you.
And then it would be great for you to share them with each other when the trip is over.
Well,
I was
thinking of keeping a journal because otherwise no one will believe what went on.
Yeah.
Right, and they won't believe that they tried to kill you first. It was only self-defense that motivated you to kill them.
Hey, Eric.
It's useful in court is what you're saying.
I wish you the very, very best
Thank
of luck.
You.
Yes,
Thank
I,
you.
I think you'll be able to use the diary in court. It'll be part of your insanity plea.
It's good to have your advice, and you can be character witnesses.
But trust it from someone who's taken many trips like this with family members, like children and wives and whatever. The bigger, the better. Go big.
Okay. And I'm going to pass this word on.
Go big. Have a wonderful time.
Thank you.
See you, Eric.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
I can't think of anything worse than spending 3 weeks in a car.
You know who would love it, though? And who's going to love it on this trip? Their dad.
Oh, yeah. He's going to love it.
It's going to be like they're little kids again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what being a father is all about, and that's what being a child is all about, that you get to relive those days of your childhood.
All right, I'll go.
Well, you're driving. Oh, boy. Well, look, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his triumph at the Manitoba March Madness Manicotti Munja Feast, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted, of course, by statistician Marge Inovera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our document security expert from the island of Jamaica is Euripides Upman, not related to our tailor, Euripides Imenides, or to our staff bouncer, Euripides I Break Your Face, or to the proprietor of our men's clothing shop, Euripides Euonides. Our divorce attorney is Carmine Not Yours. Our credit counselor is Max Stout. Our assistant disciplinarian is Joaquin DePlanc. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Aldovindo. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian, all been heard before. Our director of Pavlovian research is Isabel Ringing. Our Russian chauffeur is Beekoff and Dropoff. The banker at Car Talk Poker Games is Nikolai Putin, and our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey Chinman Howe is you, Louis Dewey, known to the pigeons with 800 SATs in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and remember, don't drive like my brother.
And remember this, by the way.
Yes.
Don't drive like my brother.
Good suggestion. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1410, download classic Car Talk episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, try your hand at 10 of our hardest puzzlers ever, including Evil King Berman and the Three Boxes.
And the Magic Hat Puzzler.
And the Monty Hall Puzzler.
Which was so hard that we had to post a copy of a mathematical proof from the American Statistician magazine to quell the furor over that one.
And how did we quell the furor over the copyright infringement suit from American Statistician?
Shh! We just took the article down for a few weeks and now we put it back up.
Ah, our 10 hardest puzzlers for your puzzling pleasure all week at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though NPR focus group leaders call for another dozen air sickness bags whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.